Patriot Power Hour, back in your life. Ben the Breaker of Banksters, here with Future Dan. How you doing there, buddy?
We've got all the news set up before us. What do you want to talk about in this first week of October?
Man, it's been pretty crazy. Second week of October, actually, time is flying. October 12th, 2021, by the way, episode 156, Patriot Power Hour. Man,
first week in October of us broadcasting together. Successfully in this season.
I'll give you that.
I think that's where I was headed with that.
I feel like I've been thinking a lot about China and Taiwan and the escalations there, but there's so many different topics. And of course, as always, we'll get to the heat map in the second segment. It's going to be a somewhat truncated, less breaks and more material than normal tonight because we just got started a little bit late. So, but anyway, I mean, there's so many different topics. I'm not going to spoil the news blitz because I'm looking at this dashboard now, and it is pretty hot, but China is something I've been really thinking about.
Well, from a high level in the first segment, it from a high level, we'll get into headlines in the second segment, break down the exact situation this past week. Okay. But from a high level, what about the China situation, South China Sea, Taiwan has you concerned? What are you seeing now that's... You know, not specifically, but what's the general movement in the environment that you're sensing?
I see it as two-pronged, and it goes back to Evergrande, G-R-A-N-D-E, that the largest property owner in the world, they've missed for the third week in a row their bond payments, coupon payments.
How come everybody stopped talking about it?
Well, they've somewhat bailed that out or attempted to, but now we're starting to see the chain reaction of the top 10. Not just them, but there's several other nearly same-size companies in China that are now seeing their bond prices cut 20, 30, 40%. And let me just say this. Stock markets can be risky, right? But almost everyone expects to be paid back from a bond. It's fixed income. It's supposed to be very safe. So when they take a 20, 30, 40% haircut in a week, that's like a stock going down 70, 80% in terms of the effect on the psyche. And long story short, there's absolute panic in the property market over in China. And that portends war or some other distraction. That's kind of where I'm getting at on the other end now with Taiwan, South China Sea, all that accelerating. But they're going to have even more reason, in my opinion, to push that because it looks like their property bubble has popped and their property, this is a whole different thing. Okay. Real quick. In America, a lot of folks put a lot of their savings into their house, right? It's their number one investment asset, whatever, even though it's a lot of it's debt, right? Before you pay it off. In China, it's almost an order of magnitude. More savings is put into property. That's almost all the savings the people have, the quote-unquote middle class, is property savings. So when that's dropping 20, 30, 40 plus percent, and that's just the start of it, like you're going to have massive, massive, not just bankruptcy and possible starvation and destitution, but anger and potential revolution. That's what the Communist Chinese Party is really scared of.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And so beating the war drums for Taiwan is part of the playbook to distract from that.
Right. And it's one thing if they have these flyovers and in the Sea of Japan and all the way down to the Philippines and all around trying to expand their reach. And they've been doing that for years. But it's all accelerated and it's all become a lot more flagrant and dangerous. Especially, obviously, with Taiwan. But all around, they've built this up. And it's been a distraction.
But in the last week, it's become unprecedented headlines. So we're going to get into the micro next, but you're seeing things that are unprecedented, and you're seeing Evergrande, and it's linked.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. Because if the Communist Party does not get a hold of this domino collapse, which I don't think they can at this point, to be honest, then either there's going to be some sort of economic crash, which probably is some sort of revolution as well, or just like many other times in history, they're going to have to start a war.
Four Chinese real estate developers in trouble. That's Australia news in the last 30 minutes. China property sector stocked by Evergrande default fears. It's Malaysian news. Bloomberg's talking about it. So that's happening tonight. What kind of contagion comes from this bubble bursting in China for the United States? I don't know. But I would openly question on the airwaves and on the internet tonight whether the Biden administration would give the U.S. Navy and Air Force stand-down orders if Taiwan was seized. Would he just come up with some non-answer and then let it collapse like Afghanistan? Was perhaps Kabul a beta test on how his followers, the Democrats, can quickly adjust to a humiliating strategic defeat and, you know, talk about something else within 3 weeks like it never even happened? I mean, if, you know, Taiwan, I really hope that nation can defend itself right now. I don't know if they're nuclear armed. I don't know if they got the hypersonic missiles. I don't know what kind of risk they can hold the People's Liberation Army, Air Force, and Navy at. But with the headlines we've seen this week, things are hot right now in the area. And I would not be surprised if the president in the White House today abandoned Taiwan.
I don't think he could either. Now, the question is...
No, I don't think he could not. I think he would do so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I agree with you. Let's just say that. I think a question would be, would the Pentagon and military allow it to happen?
They follow orders. We have civilian leadership of our military. Unless Trump's in charge and telling, you know, the generals to put active troops into the military district of Washington and they refuse, or the Secretary of Defense, you know, just basically threatens to resign amid riots and burning of churches within, you know, within the vicinity of the White House. But aside from that, I'm certain every general and admiral in our current forces would obey this White House if they said, don't fight.
Yeah, I guess it's a little different than if a bunch of nukes were shot at New York and he tried to tell them to stand down. I would hope they would still shoot back.
I'm pretty sure they'd do whatever the president told them under every circumstance.
Yeah, well, that's a major failure then.
As long as they accepted and liked the president. They had a president that they disrespected, like Trump. Then the obedience of the military could be called into question. But I don't think any of them would, you know, be told. You know, ordering action is harder, typically, right? Ordering an attack is harder. And initially, if U.S. vessels and aircraft are attacked, those forces won't wait to, you know, defend.
Yeah.
But how long before there's just a flash message throughout the DoD networks that say, stand down, and an agreement on a hotline to Beijing that we're withdrawing, so don't cause further casualties as they proceed amphibious and airborne landings in Taiwan, right? After probably a massive missile barrage.
I mean, that's very plausible.
Guam might be gone with all the troops there, but in the meantime, ordering the Navy and the Air Force to stand down, even for 24 hours, would lose the initiative and lose the island.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All it would take is that small window of time being missed and be game over, I would think.
And they're echoing results of recent years' wargaming in the Western Pacific, all designed to see how our systems defend against Chinese systems to prevent the million-man swim. And they're talking openly about how in recent years, given the modeling of emerging Chinese warfighting technologies, that, you know, the U.S. and allies, including Japan and Australia, can't hold, you know, can't prevent the invasion of Taiwan. So, you know, when we hear leadership talking about how any war like that could possibly pretty much be lost already, sounds to me like an message inoculation that when the invasion began, we'll certainly just decide to cut and run on Taiwan and explain later that we could never have won it.
Right, they're already building that narrative for sure. So I've told this story a couple times on air, but when I went to get my master's degree at Purdue about a quarter of the students were from mainland China and a quarter were from Taiwan. The other half were Americans like me, and we had like a couple guys from like India, one from like South America, and then seven or eight white guys. So, you know, it was very diverse, except the Americans were all white guys, but it is what it is. The Chinese were nice enough and really smart, but pretty robotic and is what it is. But they busted their ass. They really did work hard. The Taiwanese were a lot more like the Americans, where they would think outside the box, have a little bit more emotion or fun or creativity, but maybe would not be able to put this raw horsepower of studying, putting the hours in. But long story short, the one thing the Taiwanese kids had is they were pissed. They did not want to be part of China. And apparently the class before mine had a similar makeup, and they had a huge argument in class of China versus Taiwan. And all the Taiwanese kids were like, screw off, we don't want you. And the Chinese kids were like, you know, eventually it's going to happen. We're going to take you back and stuff like that. And apparently got really heated. And to start our classes, our professor, it was a very small class, like 40 people in this master's of finance.
And how many were from those two countries?
Probably like 7 or 8 Taiwanese and 8 or 10 Chinese.
No kidding.
And on the first day they said in class, so again, the year before they had this big blowout fight apparently. And then my class, they said, first day, we're not having any arguments about China versus Taiwan. I swear to God. This is in 2009. So this is 11 years ago, right? That's the right math. 12 years ago. 12 years ago. Jeez. More than 12 years ago. I'm getting old. Anyway, the Taiwanese kids, though, I talked to some of them separately, and I wasn't even so awake or whatever. I'm not woke, if you know what I mean. I'm the opposite of woke, I hope to say. Interpretive Commander, by the way, had that shirt that said the right kind of woke, I think, when we met him. But anyway, even back then, I just could tell that the Taiwanese kids had a little bit of a spark of freedom in them. And I was like, man, I hope they win. I don't want the robots to take them over. Okay. Like, these individual Chinese kids weren't bad, but I was like, man, that culture's just, no, I like the Taiwanese kids more. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a numbers game, though. It's a massive communist military force.
Right. Oh, yeah. And massive underdogs, to say the least.
And without the air cover and the naval presence that can defeat that invasion, They're just, it's a matter of time, right? So we got Taiwan heating up, Evergrande in the background with it, and a whole lot more. Are we doing a break in this special broadcast? Are we going to punch out a block break before we go into segment two?
I don't know if we might have technical issues, if it'll work or not. If I can give it a go.
Yeah, let's do it.
We are testing out a new kind of our secondary broadcast means right now tonight.
Alternate studio.
Think of it that way. I did a test, just for the record, for Intrepid Commander and everyone out there. I did do a test. It did work, the pre-record. I don't know if it's working live, but I hope it is. We are going to go to break, though, real quick. We'll come back with the news blitz, futuredanger.com. Follow along, futuredanger.com. And, of course, go to Prepper Broadcasting. PrepperBroadcasting.com. Become a member of the Continuity. Only $60 a year. All types of exclusive content. I'm a member. I'm not just a host. I'm a member too. All right, guys. We'll be right back. Patriot Power.
The situation around Syracuse is one of utter devastation. Just like the other nuked cities, the danger area of highest contamination extends out 20 miles from the blast zone. All the communities immediately around the city have major problems. There is a mandatory evacuation order for the city itself and some of the immediate surrounding areas. They are testing the water, air, and soil constantly for contamination. This excerpt is
ahead of Secretary of State visit. We talked about that in previous episodes. The Havana Syndrome. Now, embassy staff in Colombia experiencing that. As we talked about a lot in the first segment, tensions are flaring as Chinese flights near Taiwan intensify. The president is vowing to retake Taiwan. Rhetoric we haven't really seen to this level this consistently, for sure. China conducts beach landing drills in province opposite of Taiwan. Taiwanese demonstrate weaponry in annual National Day parade. Chinese PCR test orders soared before the first confirmed COVID case. Reminds me about all the short sales on the airlines before 9/11. North Korea displays glider weapon claimed to be hypersonic. Oh, North Korea. Attack submarine USS Connecticut suffers underwater collision in South China Sea. I think this took place just like the day after last week's show. I definitely looked deep into this. U.S. Marine Station on Taiwan for more than a year. By the way, I want to speculate a little bit about that attack submarine later on. DOD's first chief software officer states that China has already won the AI arms race. Chinese testing experimental armed drone ships. Is that what's related to the USS Connecticut being hit? Russian Pacific Fleet demonstrates firepower in the Sea of Japan. Don't forget, Russia's still got quite a lot of weaponry. Moving on to economics. We're starting to see that inflation we've been talking about really bear out. Gasoline from debt ceiling crisis. President Moles' new regulations on crypto via executive order may hire a crypto czar. Never understood this whole czar thing. The czar is bad. There will be things that people can't get at Christmas, White House warns. Now, I'm going to run through them real quick. We got a lot of high-level
red hot
articles related to COVID, like we have for quite some time. But it's really starting to pick up, actually, compared to the last few weeks at least. Los Angeles requiring proof of vaccination for entertainment venues. Colorado woman with stage 5 renal failure denied kidney transplant for being unvaccinated. Hospital system says it will deny transplants to unvaccinated in almost all situations. Doctor escorted from work for refusing COVID vaccine. Meanwhile, Sweden. Everyone always talks, especially Democrats, love to talk about how great, you know, the Nordic countries are. Well, Sweden is suspending the Moderna vaccine. You know, they're kind of waking up. Moving on. Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine protection drops off after 2 months. By the way, clarification, Sweden, when they suspended the Moderna vaccines for those 30 and under. Iceland bans Moderna vaccine over heart inflammation risk. Geomagnetic storms. There was a warning, actually, yesterday where a flare was expected to hit Earth, disrupt some satellite communication, mostly towards the North Pole. Does not seem to be much of anything, but just goes to show, even we've got enough man-made problems, but there's still natural disasters, including coronal mass ejections, which, hey, I'll defer to new guru on what those can do to you, but just consider it a huge EMP. Well, looks like we had a near miss. Or if it hit, wasn't as strong as it's been before. Be on the lookout. More nature news. Blocks of molten lava as large as buildings falling from La Palma volcano in Spain. Been seeing a fair amount of volcanic activity, I feel like, in the last year. Chemical found in food storage containers, shampoo, makeup, perfume, and toys linked to early death. Earthquakes in the Pacific, 6.8 magnitude in Fiji. Another strong earthquake off the coast of Hawaii, strong and shallow. 6.9 earthquake in Alaskan Peninsula, so the entire rim, Pacific rim. With that, Future Dan, it's the October 12th, 2021 News Blitz. Lots to cover, but where do you want to start?
Well, you're talking about the U.S. Connecticut. They're not saying what damaged that. I think 11 sailors were injured. And, yeah, the most reasonable thing to suspect is those navies are on full tilt all the time as if it could kick off. All those Chinese troops performing beach landing drills probably are hearing from their commanders that this is just a rehearsal. We're going to do it, right? And it's hot. It's hot over there. Massive numbers of Chinese warplanes not entering Taiwanese airspace proper, but their air defense identification zone. So countries name areas around them beyond their, you know, their actual airspace that is theirs as zones where they pay attention to enemy or to military, foreign military operations. Chinese mainland air force is zooming that with dozens of planes at a time. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, those planes are particular packages meant. And it's not just random planes going over there. They have particular squadrons and setups that are meant as strike packages. So, like you said, not only underwater, on the surface, on the beaches, in the air, they're running through these simulations. One of them may be the real deal. And that's what at least our folks out there in Taiwan themselves certainly better be prepared, because it's just like a boxer throwing feints. Eventually that big overhand's coming. And I certainly hope not, but it seems like it's pushing that way really hard.
Yeah, and in the vaccine mandate news, it's getting real, and everybody's talking about it, obviously, you know, but we just try to focus on concrete, reportable actions by, you know, federal, state, and local governments, and, you know, obviously Los Angeles, Colorado, New York is, you know, some of these places are leading in the attempt to force vaccines, but, you know, there's obviously news that doesn't show up on the heat map radar because it's not necessarily negative news, right? So Florida governor and Texas governor have been leading to prevent vaccine mandates in their states, and Texas has now done an executive order that bans any entity from mandating vaccines. So that's Texas doing things that would contravene federal executive orders. So state executive orders, governor executive orders versus presidential executive orders. But there are states that are holding out, obviously Texas leading among them. And there's court cases that are at least putting judicial stays on vaccine mandates, even in New York State, where news tonight came out that healthcare workers who object on the grounds, religious grounds, to a vaccine that includes, you know, stem cells from aborted fetuses to create and produce the vaccines, you know, pretty clear-cut case of religious exemption for anybody professing to be pro-life. And a judge upheld that today in New York State. So the governor's orders, at least for healthcare workers in that particular case in New York, they can't be fired for it. So we're going to see where that ends up. And I don't know if the tide is tipping against vaccine mandates, but they'll be really curious if that happens, how Democrats just pivot and act like they never tried to put it on us. But I think the goal this time around is to socialize the methodology sufficiently with their cult-like follower of what used to be known as a constituency of the Democrat Party. And, you know, when COVID 2022 comes along, they'll probably learn from this test.
Great way to put it. It's kind of for that next one, right? And I think they're fine if it kind of, the narrative blows up in the short term. They kind of look foolish and they have to play damage control, because like you said, they moved the Overton window so much. And as we talk about the Overton window, it's just, yeah, what do you consider normal? I mean, they've done so much damage to the psyche of the current and especially the next generation, the younger folks. Like, they could be, you know, brought out as a fraud and Fauci could be convicted and they would still have, like, had massive success and victory, unfortunately. So, with that said, we don't necessarily report and talk about the good news and successes, because we're looking at future danger. We're looking at why you prep and when you should implement your prepping plans. But we're also not here just to be downers and say we're going to lose no matter what and all this other stuff, because there are people that are fighting back and being successful. So, you know, maybe we'll have a little segment here and there a little more often to talk about the successes and stuff. But don't lose too much heart, even though we talk a lot about negative stuff going on. It's better to be aware of it, I think.
So we're going to go into the break, have one quick break. We're not going to have a second break. Run right through, right up against the hour.
Yep.
20 minutes out from the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll be back. Patriot Power Hour, October 12th, 2021.
Painted on the sky, misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country road, take me home to the place I belong.
Are you prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding The Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Coming in hot out of a commercial break. As always, PrepperBroadcasting.com. Best way to find the archives, the show links, email and contact information for hosts. But quick shout out. I've only done this a few times. I need to do it more often. The best way to not only find us in a succinct manner, but to tell your friends, is tell them wherever you find your podcast, whether it's Apple Music, or on Podcast Addict on Android, whatever, Stitcher, all those different places. Just search Prepper Broadcasting Network. It's an easy We're back, Patriot. Patriot Power Hour is back. Slight technical difficulties. I blame the NSA. Maybe not. We had a great first start to the show. If you missed that and you just started with this file, I'd certainly encourage you to go back, listen to the 30 minutes or so we put together with the news blitz, etc. With only a few minutes left, we got 7 or 8 minutes. Let's just knock it out. We've obviously talked a lot about China. We've talked a little bit about COVID mandates. And we've talked, man, just so many other topics, though. But only a few minutes. What do you want to hit on?
Well, what we were talking about is our role on the network.
You want to talk about that? We can still talk about it.
And I asked you a question right before we were cut off.
Well, they may not have heard that, to be honest.
Right, so.
Restart it. What was
we're going to have to listen to the... That,
no, it might have got cut off before we even said that.
I got you.
I don't know when it crashed.
So the question, again, is how would you call our role for new listeners to Prepper Broadcasting Network catching Patriot Power Hour for the first time?
Broad situational awareness covering all different facets, whether it's war, whether it's attacking free speech and Second Amendment, whether it's economic collapse, whether it's natural disaster. We try to get in front of those particular, kind of at the micro level, we try to get in front of actual events as best as we can and review them after the fact too. But from a big picture, we try to analyze trends so you can tune your preparedness to what really is going on and what, especially at a regional level, but all, I guess what I'm trying to say, we're more than this, but we are a mile wide, an inch deep, you know, very broad. And we, while we do go in depth on some topics, we're more of a wide ranging, you know, situational awareness, just aware of all your surroundings.
Right. As opposed to the Matter of Facts podcast or the Next Generation, Gunmetal Armory, you know, a lot of other podcasts that are deeply focused on this network on the how-to. That's not necessarily our forte, but we're the intersection of, you know, how-to and when it's time to, right?
Yeah.
So to summarize this week's news in October, I think it was in August that you had a premonition that crisis could come our way this fall. And we've been doing this for a number of years. Fall is typically not the time where we expect to see, you know, anything other than economic crises. So perhaps that's what your premonition was that leads the way this fall. But on October 12th, how close are we vis-a-vis the prediction you made perhaps 5 weeks, 6 weeks ago?
Unfortunately, I think I've already panned out. I mean, you can't count your chickens before they hatch, but with what we've seen with Afghanistan and now the Chinese property market and the saber rattling in Taiwan, if any of those move to the next level, it's, you know, it's going to be equal or worse than COVID, because a major trade war or actual hot war with China would cause as much or more economic and death, economic destruction and death as COVID. Trillions of dollars in damage and tens of thousands of Americans dead, service members mostly. And, you know, that's just here in America, let alone worldwide.
Awesome. Well, I think we got 6 indicators red, which means nearly actual, but not quite full tilt. We're not near that tonight. So if it seems like that where you are, where you're preparing, you're right. We're not in a major crisis, but were some incident to spark a conflict in the South China Sea, the cascading effects, economic to, you know, just the loss of liberty at home and many, many, many awful results are, in your estimate, what's kind of the trail, the lag on just, let's say, many of the indicators in column 3 economic going, you know, just straight on black on red happening now, just crashing like behaviors. What would you expect to see shortly after some conflagration overseas, like a Taiwan incident?
Well, if it really sparks off into a near world war or world war, then I feel like they would have bank holidays and bail-ins for national security war purposes. Hey, you know, Guam went up in a nuclear mushroom cloud. Taiwan's been taking lots of loss of life on both sides, massive trade wars. You know, stock market should crash 70-80% almost overnight, but guess what? We're not going to let that happen. In order to keep things together, we're going to have to take control of your 401k and your pension account and your Charles Schwab and all that. And don't worry, it's all going to work out. America's going to come together. It's going to be like 9/11 to another order of magnitude. But that also comes with the peer pressure of you got to conform. I mean, it'll be – if people – this is a little scary for me for the folks that, you know, I felt like people conformed to the vaccine mandates easier than I expected. So I'm like, when stuff really hits the fan, if a virus that kills 10% of people actually goes out there, or there's a major, major war conflict, people will fall right into line. So that's not necessarily good if you're independent-minded. Let's just say that.
Coming up next week, we're going to do a book review, Ben. Yeah. There is a book that made it to my P.O. box that I have been reading.
Oh, yeah. And we are about that last week a little bit. Yeah.
We're going to debut that and give no-nonsense talk about what COVID is, isn't, what the tests mean, okay. don't mean. I'm not sure we can give away the entire book in 1 hour episode, and we're going to cover the news like we always do. But we're going to touch upon it, so... A little teaser there. I'm not going to name the book or all that. We're going to bring it out next week, but I highly recommend it. You pick this up and read it for, you know, I think I went through the first 5 chapters in less than 40 minutes. It was fast, clear reading, and you're going to be smarter than nearly everybody else you know on a lot of things that have baffled all of us since the start of this pandemic.
Yeah, there's been so much misinformation, even for, you know, if you're listening to this, you're probably... pretty attentive to what's going on, but there's just been so much misinformation and just experience and lessons learned. So you combine all that, it's hard to know what side's up with regard to COVID, really with almost any news these days. There's so much conflicting info, but I'm looking forward to that
book review. I'll preview one thing. All of this, all the variables with measuring, testing, and vaccinating COVID have all those variables become complex pretty fast. And if you're not smart enough, that complexity just results in complicatedness. I define the two a little bit differently. Complex is hard to understand, but it can be understood. And complicated is impossible to understand. It's always baffling, no matter how you apply any reasoning to it. And for most people who don't try hard or just aren't endowed with the capability to, I don't know, read a few chapters of a book, it's forever complicated. And those people are part of our problem. This book, buy it, share it with others. It's written so clearly that at least some portion of those people can start to understand the complexity involved. And it's a real straight-up book. We're going to preview it next week. Can't wait to talk about it.
Nice, nice. No, I think that's a great example of one of the ways they push their propaganda, or just more of confusion for the general population, is they hold on to a few bite-sized words, right, that they really harp on over and over, but everything else they make it complicated. They make it so you can never figure it out, but there's these few talking points. Well, they don't actually want to have you understand the full picture. They want you to hold on to a couple key points. Same as like with politics, the talking points, but it's more of the talking points of economics, the talking point of China, the talking point of critical race theory, the talking point of
crypto's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Jamie Dimon saying Bitcoin's worth nothing, but my clients are adults, so I will do business in it. Okay, Jamie Dimon. Anyway, but no, I think that's a great way to kind of summarize all that. And yeah,
how soon before the bonds of his bank are worthless?
They already are. They weren't bailed out. He actually got to buy Bear Stearns at like pennies on the dollar, so he took advantage of a bankrupt. So he's kind of the vulture. It comes in and picks it apart. By the way, Bitcoin up to 57,800 as its high. It pared back a little bit. I think about 55,000 right now. But this time last week, it was about 47,000 up to 55,000. Excuse me. It's gone up. It's gone back kind of off that bounce right now. 56,477. So very volatile, but mostly to the upside.
Nearing all-time highs.
All-time high is about 64,000. Geez, a month and a half ago, Bitcoin was 30 grand. So it's gone from 30 to 56 grand in just a couple months. All-time high last March was 64 grand.
Call the top on 2021 Bitcoin price before we're out of here. What do you say the top is? We going to see a new high this fall?
I think we'll see a new high, but I think it'll stay around 70 to 75 grand. I don't think it's going to break through 100 grand by the end of the year. By the end of next year, though, I expect to see six-figure Bitcoin. That doesn't mean it's not going to drop down to 30 grand again, though. So buy low, sell high. That's my advice.
It doesn't mean there won't be an internet kill switch used during a crisis in the Western Pacific, followed by an economic crisis in the United States that puts Bitcoin where? On your thumb drive.
If they kill the internet, then they kill Bitcoin. But if they kill the internet, you probably got worse problems in this world, to be honest, because it'll be game over if we don't have the internet. Well, but that's why I have gold, silver, food stuffs, and I'm actually looking to convert a little bit of my Bitcoin into 10 acres of a little bit of a bug out spot, for real. So, yeah, I agree. Bitcoin is, you have to have electricity, you have to have internet. But otherwise, I feel like it's pretty much impervious. A lot of people out there probably laughing, but I'm, you know, that's why I got my gold and silver too. I'm not just all on crypto by any means.
Awesome. Well, I think that wraps it up for October 12th, 2020. That's Patriot Power Hour. We'll check in two-part episode. Maybe we'll stitch it together when it gets onto the archives of futuredanger.com. Check out our complete history of Patriot Power Hour dating back to our first episode. When, Ben? November 2017.
It was November 2017. I don't remember the exact day. We'll go into the archives. But we're coming up on fourth-year anniversary in about a month.
Right. And coming up on a two-year anniversary of joining Prepper Broadcasting Network. Catch all our previous episodes. They are not evergreen, except for our specials, which are all labeled as such.
That's true. Now, I would say I've gone back and listened to a couple of our first episodes on PBN, because right when the Wuhan issues were cropping up, when they were talking about people getting welded into their apartments and all the craziness. So we started a PBN right when COVID was breaking, essentially. So I do go back and listen to some of the old shows just for fun. Go back to the archive. It's a, you know, I also, by the way, last plug here. Not only do I listen to all the other shows on PBN, I keep an archive of them. Once I download them to my phone, every month or so, I move that to long-term storage. So I have hundreds and hundreds of episodes of PBN. So this stuff will become only more important and more evergreen as the years go on, I think, guys. So anyway, with that said, Patriot Power Hour, we're out of here. Have a good one, buddy.
Yeah, good show, Ben. Talk to you next week.
All right, we'll do it.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.